Hello, developers, and welcome to the PHP Architect Community Corner podcast, where we have conversations with members of the web development community. I'm your host, Scott Keck Warren, and today we're talking with Jeff Polifka about his teaching experience at a university teaching front-end developers and his talks at PHP Tech 2025. Jack Polifka earned his PhD in human-computer interaction at Iowa State University, studying how technology can be used to better understand how students use pictures and representations in college science classrooms. Jack also holds a Bachelor of Science in Web and Digital Media Development from the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point, and his Master of Science in Human-Computer Interaction from Iowa State University. In addition, he has 10-plus years in experience as a software developer. He teaches classes related to web development, the Internet of Things, and job readiness. Thank you, Jack, for finding some time to talk to us today.
Awesome. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that I really want to talk to you about today is this the fact that you're teaching the next generation of web developers. And can you talk to us a little bit about what it is that like a new web developer is getting from some of the courses that you're teaching?
So I teach 4 web development courses. My first one is front-end development, where I try to give them just a range of HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. My second semester is back-end or full-stack development, where I include MySQL and Node.js. Not that I have anything against teaching PHP. Node.js was just a recommendation of my chair. And also, it's a little easier since they already had an introduction to JavaScript their first year. The third web development course I teach is actually putting those skills to use, developing portfolio and developing materials to apply to internships. And the fourth class I teach is the Internet of Things, where I teach them how to use Amazon Web Services and use physical devices like Amazon Alexa. What are the glasses called? Echo frames. I know Meta just came out with some, but yeah, so that's what I do. Go ahead.
I didn't even know Amazon had smart glasses. There's so many things that they provide. So that's really fascinating. So like I don't want to date myself, but like when I went to college for programming, it was C++, and pretty much that was it. Like we learned a lot, did a lot in C++. So I can write like a linked list in C++ now, but you know, I don't usually use that for like work essentially. So when you're getting like these students ready for the job market, like how is it that you're seeing what are the things that you usually like to see those kids have in their portfolio at that point?
So I really like to see them have some actual finished websites that they can show that they can do a gamut of the web ecosystem. So my major is a little bit different from your stereotypical computer science program or department. So they focus a lot on the fundamentals. And they have things like data structures and design patterns. So we appreciate that stuff, but we care a lot about the user experience and stuff. My major is actually called games, interactive media, and mobile technology. And a lot of people come from that games aspect and creating things that are entertainment for people. So I try to help my students create things where they can create an experience or something that people can have fun while using. So like my first project I have students make is actually a mobile narrative where they have to go out and collect data and then make some different graphs about that that story or topic. So someone has done like the top 100 people who've conquered most of the world. So like Vladimir Putin, Stalin, the Queen of England, and just all these people who've, because of colonialism, other things, have taken certain portions of the world, are quote unquote conquered. But yeah, so they get to do things around things that they find interesting to make.
It's more like a kind of like an introduction to front ends type of a situation than like a front end back end piece.
Yeah, I mean, I do include back end stuff because in order to get some of that rich user experience, you have to have that. So my second class, I teach them how to make a CRUD API website where they basically are creating a database of stuff. So people have done things about like their favorite video game and they've done the time runs for it, or someone did it like on 200 kinds, different kinds of frogs. Other people have done it for bird watching they did during the pandemic or whatnot. Just very various things.
Okay. That's really fascinating. Cause like, I think like that definitely is like a gap, for lack of a better like terminology in my like knowledge base, is like making the front end look pretty. I'm very much like a back end developer, but like it's always interesting. So I'll be like about to start looking for some of your stuff and see if I can, you know, cheat it out or whatever. So one of the things like I always do when I try to look at people's like LinkedIn and their websites and see like what they've been doing. And I noticed that like you started out in industry and then have kind of made the transition into academia and to teach like the next generation. Can you tell us like what made you do that and like how that process kind of worked for you?
It just kind of happened. I didn't have any big plans about teaching per se. I went to college. I knew I liked programming, and so I figured, hey, I'm gonna go do that. I did that for a little bit, but then I'm like, I think there's gotta be, I wanna do something a little bit more just besides programming. What else can I do with it? And then I decided, hey, I'm gonna go back to graduate school, and I got introduced to academic research. And my major professor, who I was doing research with, he actually helps train teachers. He's a chemistry professor, which is a little strange, working with a chemistry professor, but he was really great. He taught me a lot about what it means to be a teacher and how do you more effectively help students to learn. So that teaching preparation plus my interest in programming kind of met up together in my current position where I help teach people to become web developers.
Oh, okay. That's really fascinating. So, cause I like had that whole path of like, do I want to be a teacher or do I want to like work in industry? And I decided to go like down the industry path, but I'm always kind of like, would I rather be a teacher? So, but it's interesting. Cause I always find it interesting. Cause I worked at the university that I went to when I was there, and I was doing that kind of like, I was working with some department, helping them develop code for research or whatever. So that's always like a fascinating piece of like academia to me as a developer. So yeah, awesome. And we'll be right back after this word from our sponsors. When your application breaks in productions, you want to quickly understand and fix it, not sift through logs for hours. That's where Honeybadger comes in. Honeybadger notifies you of errors, outages, and performance issues as they occur and helps you respond instantly as your systems go down. When you dig deeper, Honeybadger's advanced query engine helps you reach into your logs and grab just the information that you need in order to make decisions. With error tracking, performance and uptime monitoring, log management, and support for over 10 languages, Honeybadger is the best tool to gain real-time insight into your application's health and performance. Best of all, it's free to get started, and setup takes less than 5 minutes. Be sure to bookmark honeybadger.io. That's honeybadger.io. And we're back with Jack Polifka. So one of the major reasons that we kind of have, or you've crossed my path, is because you're going to be one of the speakers at PHP Tech this year. And can you talk to us a little bit about what it is that you're going to be talking to people about?
So the two talks I'm going to have at PHP Tech are about how to design your APIs and which Amazon Web Services you should be utilizing for hosting your websites and web applications. So both of these actually come from my experience from teaching my second and third semester web development courses. I figured these are really good courses for my students that I actually want to show this to professionals too, because I know there's just so much information out there that not everybody has time to pick up on everything. So I'm just trying to do my part to help show people what there is out there. So for the APIs one, there's a lot more that goes into APIs than just programming something that uses get, post, put, and delete. There's a lot of design choices and how you might organize that code and how you would work with stakeholders before you actually start even programming the thing. So I want to talk about those various strategic design choices. And then for Amazon Web Services, I want to talk kind of about the range of options that are available. So there's everything from setting up your own virtual machine using EC2 to everything to all the way to the simplest, which might be Lambda, which is just a serverless where you're creating a function and using that for your API. So I'm just trying to fill in or give people a bigger picture of what is out there.
The thing I always struggle with AWS is like how complex it is and how many services that like they provide. And so I think like that's going to be like, I'm coming to that talk. I have plans for going to that web services talk. Cause I'm really curious to see like, cause we've used EC2 and we've used like tried to use Lambdas, but we've run into all sorts of problems with that. And so I'm curious to see like what you have to say about all those different pieces, but like, what is it you usually find that your students like struggle with AWS when they're working with it?
So when I taught it, I always have my students do EC2, which I would say is on the hardest end of things. So if you have a spectrum of easiest to hardest, I think the hardest thing you can do for setting up hosting is to set up like a server in your garage. That's the hardest thing, because then you have to do all the patches, you have to install all the services, you have to work with the internet service provider to get the IP address and all that good stuff. Using EC2 instance is like one step above that. You still have to do all the patching, you still have to do all the maintenance, you have to set up all the services. So I have the students go through all of that. The struggle with that is that a lot of my students just aren't comfortable on the terminal. So my major attracts a mix of computer science minded folks and then 2D and 3D graphic design people. So I have the whole gambit of people who are comfortable with terminal or the lack thereof. So just trying to help people get used to it and trying that. Like I'm typing something on the console, but there's not like a physical machine I'm working with that's right in front of me. It's out in a different state somewhere. So that sort of that feedback, I would say, might be the hardest thing.
Yeah, I was like, I've been lucky, I guess, in that like I learned like all of those things like slowly over time. I can't even imagine having to like be plunked into, okay, here's like all this stuff that you have to learn, and you had to figure out how to set up a server, and you had to figure out, you know, like that must just be insanity for like anybody starting out. So yeah, awesome. So one of the questions that I'm trying to ask all the speakers that are on the podcast are there any tips that you have for new conference goers or even seasoned conference goers that they might benefit from?
I think your first one so I'm going to answer this based on my experience going to my first PHP Tech. Try to spend the whole day at the conference going to every session you can. In every activity you can be a part of, every lunch, meet and greet, whatever, do it just so you can get a vibe for who is there and what you can learn. These conferences are about improving yourself, learning, and just meeting cool people. And if you don't do it, you're not going to learn. You're not going to figure out what you want and who's there.
Awesome. That sounds like that's an excellent piece of advice for people. Absolutely. Yeah. So is there anywhere that you want to direct our listeners to before we let you go for today?
Direct them. So if I was working for a company, I might direct them to our job board. But we don't have that because I don't think people are going to go to the Boise State website and look for a programming job because it's a lot of teaching stuff. So I don't have anything today for them. I would say go check out the PHP Architect website. I've been reading the magazine for a number of years now, and I've written a couple of times for it. It's a great resource. If you've never had the chance to enjoy, please do so. It is great information, and it has done a lot for me to improve me as a programmer and a professional.
Yeah, it's an excellent resource. I agree. So thank you for your time today.
Awesome. Cool. Thank you very much, Scott. Have a great day.
I have to say another heartfelt thank you to Jack for his time and for you as well for listening. If you're not already a subscriber, make sure you subscribe with whatever your preferred method is so you can get the episodes as soon as they're released. You might want to share this episode with a boss to try and convince them to let you go to tech this year because it's coming up soon and tickets are still available. The podcast is available both in an audio version on the PHP Architect website, as well as a video version on our YouTube channel. This is Scott Keck Warren for the PHP Architect Community Corner, signing off and reminding you to keep listening, keep coding, and keep reading.